You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Don't let HR regulations slow you down. We Do HR Support offers complete HR solutions to keep your business moving. Visit wedo-hr.com.
Good morning, this is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week during the show, we share the stories, the expertise and the knowledge of business leaders, large and small, all across Oxfordshire with you, the listener. And this week is going to be no different. On today's show, I'm really, really excited, actually, to be sharing the story of House of Fun. And to do that, we're joined by the MD, Jake Motion. Welcome, Jake.
Morning. Thanks, Ben. Thanks for having me on.
Ah, amazing. I really look forward to be introducing Jake after this. Get Radio. Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Before that song, you heard the theme today. We're going to be sharing the story of House of Fun. And to do that, we're joined by the MD, Jake Motion. So let's start. Jake, for those who don't know about you or House of Fun, enlighten us. What is House of Fun?
So we are a activity clubs and STEM workshops provider for children, young people, and more recently for corporates as well. So we provide great quality school holiday childcare for families who are in need of that. We also provide in-school workshops that are linked to the school curriculum, all based around STEM, after school clubs as well. And we also have our, like I said, our corporate workshops offering. All of our STEM work is based around Lego as well. So it's using the power of Lego, harnessing that just to get, as it says in the name, just to make fun activities for people.
Amazing, amazing. Lots to talk about over the next hour, which we really look forward to. But before that, as I think we joked before we go on, before we went on air, the hardest question I think our guests find is a song choice. But you have kindly chosen a song for our listeners this morning. What is your song choice and why have you picked it?
Song is You Make My Dreams by Hall & Oates. This is just a banging song that gets you, you know, foot tapping, gives you a bit of energy. And it was actually the song that my wife and I had as our first dance at our wedding. So it's got many happy memories.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Today, I'm really, really excited to be joined by Jake Motion of House of Fun. And we're really going to be sharing the story behind the business, but also really going to delve into really this team building piece, whether it be for a corporate, as Jake touched on in his intro, or whether this be STEM for schools and young people. So let's just start with really probably the why, if that's okay, Jake. So why did you set up the business, and really kind of how has the business developed over the period that you've been running it?
So the why is very, very strong. So I started my career as a teacher, and I was working in central Oxford at the time in a school, and would just get really frustrated with the fact that the disadvantage gap in the class that I was teaching. So having previously worked at holiday camps as a teenager myself and really enjoyed them, I went to the head teacher and said, look, can we do something for these families in need during school holidays? Because what we would find is we'd do all the great work in schools, and they would come on leaps and bounds in various different progress measures, and then they'd go home for the holidays, and for whatever variety of reasons they would come back five steps back from where they left us. So that's the why. It is to give high quality fun activities to people, children in disadvantage, so that they have a better chance in life and so they can contribute to society.
No, amazing. And as you said, that really is a really strong why. Just focusing on that piece, I think Oxford or Oxfordshire as a county is internationally known for our education system. We, of course, Oxford University head that up. But at the same time, I think that we've got some amazing schools and colleges. And Oxford University isn't the only university in the city. What is that gap? Like you touched on very, very much that there is a big gap, particularly within that summer holiday piece. Just build a little bit more on how vast that is. And I guess really what is the impact if great people like you don't step in and able to provide that extra support?
So yeah, on the surface, Oxfordshire is, if you don't dig too deep, is a leafy, affluent county. However, if you dig a bit deeper and you actually look at the data, so we do a bit of work with the county council, for example, through their holiday activities and food programme, made famous by Marcus Rashford during lockdown, then actually you find pockets of disadvantage that are significantly higher than the national average. And in fact, a particular area in Oxfordshire is known for being in the top five areas of disadvantage in the country. So it's really when you start digging deeper, disadvantage is there. It is there in any county in the UK, sadly. And so the reality is that people need to step in and help close that gap because it has a real world impact on students. And some of the case studies that I can think of students that have come along to our programs, but also to others, lots of other amazing providers out there, it does make a genuine impact. If you're thinking from school's perspective, it really helps them to be ready for learning, for example, after a holiday period, to come back to school because they've been socializing, because they've been active, because they've been eating healthy, they've had great role models around them, people like me, for example. So that's a phrase, not people like me specifically, but people like them, if you see. So they see people like themselves doing things that inspire them. And we've all, I'm sure we can all name at least one person in our life that we thought actually they're amazing and they inspire you to do. So yeah, the disadvantage is definitely there, and if you speak to anyone involved in education, certainly they would say that times are tough at the moment, the cost of living as well, and uncertainty with kind of government and things like that. So now is more than ever, this is needed. These kind of programs are needed.
No, absolutely. And something you touched on earlier there is the campaign that Marcus Rashford did. Absolutely incredible work. And it's a real shame actually that he needed to do it, isn't it? But no, really, really, really good piece. I'm just keen to really kind of put you on the spot a little bit. And I appreciate that maybe there is contradictory data here potentially. But is there like a point really where young people really do need that extra support, or if you haven't had it by a certain age, it's really hard to recover and catch up? Because I know that it was widely reported during COVID that there was a big problem with young people in terms of at a certain age not being able to, I guess, have those social skills because they'd been in lockdown or missing education. I know that the UK education system, which you'll know a lot better than I, was under real pressure during COVID. But like, is there like a kind of like, I guess, kind of a certain age where actually there it's even more important that students really kind of get some of this sort of added support really, and really that we kind of close that gap.
There's clearly no kind of cut-off age, but my certainly when I was teaching as well, it's just the earlier the better. So it's that it, even if it's like a little and often in terms of developing social skills, or if it's just a pathway, a legacy pathway to be able to practice those things as part of everyday life with social skills, for example, it is always the earlier the better. In terms of kind of specific literacy skills, for example, I remember going to a fantastic piece of training by the local authority from a literacy advisor there, and they were talking about just if you think about how if a child doesn't read, let's say by the age of seven, isn't able to fully decode and be confident with reading, because they're not reading so many words, so physically number of words. If you extrapolate that out over to when they get to a GCSE age, because every young person is compulsory for them to GCSE or equivalent type qualification, or at least attempt it, then it's something ridiculous like a million words that they will know less than somebody else, for example. Maybe millions plucked out of thin air, but it is a significant number. But when you come back to, if you work back from that, when you think about how many words they should be learning to read age three, four, five, six, or hear or say or understand, it's not a huge amount. So, with babies, for example, it's in the tens. So you count in terms of tens of words that they can understand. And then when they get post-toddler age, it's into the maybe 100, 200. And if you extrapolate that out with a multiplier, then actually it's a significant disadvantage that they get to by the age of
Absolutely. I actually went to a similar workshop, and I think something that really resonated with me, and I can't remember the exact stat, but if you were to look at a group of 5 or 6 year old students in a class, and you were to rank them all top first to last, almost like a Premier League table in terms of level of reading and writing, and then you were to compare that to all of the GCSEs at later life, that the amount that would actually move out of that list is very, very slim. And the point that they made, which I think was really, really real, is that actually you need to have a level of English in order to do a maths exam or a science exam or a history exam or whatever else, which always really, really resonated.
It's also the approach to it as well, because exams are here to stay, like them or love them. And so it's things like the resilience. It's having the necessary organizational skills. It's having the self-confidence. And all of that, you know, it comes from consistent, high-quality teaching and learning and activity in general. So that's where we come in. We do, obviously, we're lots of people who work in our organization come from a teaching background. It's a very obvious link. And so, you know, they bring their kind of, say, literacy or maths or any of the subject skills in. And then it's about trying to weave them in. So one of the things we do are multi activity camps, for example, over the summer holidays, as we link with the local reading challenge, and provide times every day where some young people just want to chill out, especially on a hot day, you know, chill out in a cool room and just read a book instead of being go, you know, sports, cookery activities, art activities all day. Sometimes actually you need a bit of chill time. And if you can get in some education in that way, fantastic. Same with the STEM camps that we run, you know, all based around Lego bricks. I think the stat is something like 64% of teachers and parents in the UK, based on Engineering UK data, say that they know STEM skills are a need to develop for their child or young person, but they don't know how to do it because they've not necessarily got the lived experience of the science, technology, engineering, maths world. So that's where we can kind of also help. It's a really fun activity on the surface. It's making really cool moving models with Lego, but actually underneath it all, it's building a legacy pathway to those people to make the spark in their brain and then actually give them a route through to something in the future, whether that's employment, whether it's just a hobby in STEM, but it's all pushing them towards being a better-rounded person and a happier person.
Absolutely. Just really kind of focusing, I guess, kind of going back one step, and I'm really keen to build on the STEM piece, probably in the next section of the show. But I think before we do that, I'm really keen to really delve into what a camp would look like with you. And I appreciate there may not be a one size fits all, but I'm just really keen to, I guess, a lot of people that are listening right now at home will have children, and I certainly know as an owner of a recruitment business, but also as a result of running the show, I do know that a lot of parents struggle to find things to do with their children over the school holidays. So I'm just really keen to understand what would a holiday camp look like, and really kind of paint that picture, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course. So our kind of key thing that we try and instill in our staff is, The main thing we want to happen at the end of the day at House of Fun is the child to go home when the parent or carer, whoever's picking them up, says, "How was your day?" They just say, "I had fun." That was it. It doesn't matter what activities they do, we can guarantee that they will have fun doing those activities. So that's our kind of overall keep it simple. You know, so if a group you're working with goes off on a tangent about something, so once, for example, one site that we're working in, just completely randomly, a bat flew into the room. First thing in the morning, a bat flew into the room just from outside, was kind of perched on one of the rafters in the classroom that we were doing activity in. So the whole day turned into bat day, and they did bat-themed activities all day, sports, cookery, arts and crafts type things. So we do have a structure, obviously. So the structure is based on those three activities, sports or active sessions, cookery and arts and crafts. The instructors that we have are kind of experts in those things. Cookery, obviously, we try and make it a mixture of sweet and savoury because we're promoting healthy eating. And our kind of USP compared to other camps is that students, children, young people choose what they do. So they will come in the morning and they will have a kind of, you know, relaxed time in the morning, come in and get to see their friends, make new friends if it's their first day. Then they get to choose, plot their day. So we have three set activity sessions. So if they want to do a mix of all the activities, they can do that. If they want to just do art all day, they can do that. If they want to work on a project all day themselves with their friends, they can go off and do that. In the summer, obviously, we've got much more outdoor activities. So we incorporate things like den building, orienteering, scavenger hunts, as well as your kind of sports, team and individual sports. cookery. We've got, yeah, we've got a wide range of, you know, we've got some very popular recipes, everything from cookies. We do bread, it's bread week, bread day, that kind of thing that we do. So thanks to Great British Bake Off for those ideas. And then arts and crafts is all, it's all based around a theme as well. So for example, in our upcoming summer camps, you know, we've got theme days. For example, it could be space days. You do based around space, so you could be making space bread. You could be looking at what's one of the space activities we've got. Also for the Lego, for example, we've got a Mars rover, moving Mars rover, which is based on the real Mars rover. Outside, we've got a planets game. It's a very popular game, playing with balls. And then arts and crafts, we've made a kind of space monster. We had a space monster activity, for example, that was very popular, so we're kind of going to find a way to incorporate that back in again. And then in between the activities, there's obviously break times, time for children, young people to just hang out. The instructors themselves are always around. They're friendly. We've got a very, very kind of good bank of people who work with us. And then at the end of the day, we always have a big group activity just to bring everyone back together and kind of foster that sense of community. So we start together, then people go off the day and do their own thing, and then we come back together at the end of the day. We just generally try and make things as fun as possible for everybody involved.
No, absolutely. No, really, really, really fascinating. Thank you so much for your thoughts so far. We'll continue the conversation after this.
Discussing topics that impact local businesses and their owners, this is The Business Brunch, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Welcome back to The Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Before that song, we've been really learning about House of Fun and the fun part, but also really some of the challenges that we may not at first realise that happens in Oxfordshire. But I think one of the big things that Jake, you said to me that really stood up is that we've got one of the five most challenging areas in the UK here in Oxfordshire, which really, really did surprise me. So let's go back to just one thing I want to kind of build on with the camps before we move on, if that's okay, is that piece of community at the end. And I think that if we look at the I guess kind of the education system, there's the learning piece, isn't there? There's the growing as individuals, there's making friends and making that community. And I think that as part of my own volunteering, I think one of the things that we've seen a lot with young people, whether they're looking for that first job or whether they're looking for a university place or career later on, I think that there is absolutely the grades you get at school. There is absolutely the extracurricular things you do. But then there is also actually your confidence to be able to sell yourself and the confidence to be able to build relationships. And I think that often that latter point is a point where sometimes really well-educated students do struggle. So I guess whether that be in the context of your camps or whether that be just general advice for those listening at home who have children and really keen to build this piece early on, what would be your take on, I guess, kind of my brain dump there? And what would be your kind of pointers and advice?
I think taking, you know, especially as children, young people get older and, you know, start making more decisions themselves. Mm. As parents and carers, it's just listening and actually listening to what are their interests. Mm. And speaking as a parent myself, I've certainly been guilty of trying to impose my own interests on my children. Bless them. But, you know, as they get older, then it's, you know, if they express a particular interest in something, you know, especially if you live, you know, in Oxfordshire, there's lots and lots of different opportunities to foster things. So I think there's a child or young person led element to it. Mm-hmm. And then it's just fostering those things in a supportive way with the understanding that it may not work out, but you've given it a go. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge thing, going back to work in the classroom and just in life in general. Give it a go. Don't have a regret that you didn't give it a go. So from our kind of context, in terms of, you know, when we have kind of new young people who come and start volunteering for us or doing assistant roles with us, if they have a particular interest, so they're, you know, one person springs to mind straight away who came to us as a person at the camp, went away for a few years, did other things, came back as a helper, then as an assistant, is now one of our instructors and hopefully a team manager of the future as well. She had a big interest in cookery and baking in particular. So when she came as a volunteer, then, you know, she was helping out in the cookery sessions. Then as an assistant, she was helping to then plan the cookery sessions. And, you know, it's not forcing her to do this, but it's giving her the opportunity. Mm. And it's that offer. That's the key. Mm. It's that offer of things, because, you know, you can't control what a child or a young person does. That's up to them. That's their choice. But if you offer it enough, it's a genuine interest of theirs, then they're going to move forwards in whatever it is, confidence or skills or whatever it is in that. Then you had that offer not being there. And this is all comes down back to the original conversation we had about disadvantage, because sadly that is often a feature of disadvantages. There are not the offers that person advantage would get. And so therefore it's kind of a logical thought process that the aspirations and dreams and kind of legacy pathways wouldn't be as complex or comprehensive as somebody who's not in disadvantage, because they didn't really know they exist. So there's, you know, STEM data, for example, has just come out from Engineering UK for this latest kind of data dashboard of STEM in the UK. Surprise, surprise again, the three kind of main areas of disadvantage in STEM across the UK is women in STEM, is Black, Asian, minority ethnic groups, and rural communities, just because there aren't those same opportunities that are being put in front of those people. This is what the data is saying. So therefore, leading through to a kind of future pipeline of people going into the industry or into the sector. So that's exactly where, you know, organisations like us come in, because we can show it as a, like I was saying earlier, from an early age as something that is just fun. You don't have to think about it as a future job, turn you into an engineer. It's just, this is a fun activity that may spark interest.
No, I think you've made such pertinent points there. I think, again, going back to my experience of a recruiter, whether it is recruiting into STEM or actually whether it is just an office job, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way at all. I think one of the real buzzwords that I think employers are looking for right now is that innovation, that creative mind, those, I guess, buzzwords that are really closely aligned to the world of STEM, and actually skills that can be learned with Lego at such an early age. But actually that is a skill shortage, and that is something that I sense is probably a lot harder to develop when you're at 18 or 21 or 45 is a real challenge.
So yeah, and also if you don't know anyone, and you don't know anybody who's kind of in that world as well, this has come back to the people like me kind of thought. If you live in a rural community and you've got no one in your family or no one in your close circle who do a particular role, whether it's in STEM or whether it's in something completely different, you've not got the role models to then pursue it.
No, very much so. I'm really keen to build on that point, actually, because I think that's really, really important. If somebody's listening now that is a school and they're finding that actually there is that real disparity, and that there are students that don't have those role models, or they're a teacher that isn't their strength, or indeed if a parent's listening now and thinking, do you know what, my children, you know, I don't have the skills or the knowledge to teach my children STEM, what would be your advice in that case?
I mean, there's a lot out there. I mean, we're very lucky in this, you know, in the Thames Valley area, that there is a lot of STEM industry. So there are a lot of opportunities out there. So obviously, you know, we offer things. We offer after school clubs. So if it were a teacher, then you know, we offer kind of free taster school workshops that kind of support the curriculum, support that can be careers curriculum, inclusion curriculum, just STEM curriculum in general. So that's a very hands-on way to get students engaged in something, and we do it all. So because we understand busy teachers are, so we organize it all for them. There's also, you know, weekend things as well. So I know that Science Oxford, for example, in Headington in Oxford, they run kind of family days at the weekend, which is a really great way to get you know, the family together, enjoying something together, but also kind of shoehorning in a bit of learning as well. What else is there? I mean, plenty in terms of kind of career pathways and things. There's so many open days that the universities do, both Brooks and Oxford. We've partnered with an organization called Oxfordshire Advanced Skills, who offer apprenticeships in engineering. They do regular things based at the Cullum Science Center. If it's a parent or carer, speaking to the school about it is an obvious place, because the schools will be aware confirm kind of what opportunities are around, especially careers leads. If it's secondary age, you know, every careers lead, every school will have a careers lead, and it's their role, it's their job to be able to kind of signpost if there's a particular interest from somebody. And then parents and carers, it's kind of, I mean, it's speaking to others, about what opportunities there are. And then holiday time, yeah, it's looking for cool holiday activities. You know, we're just one provider of many who offer, really cool activities, whether it's an interest in sports, whether it's an interest in arts and crafts, whether it's an interest in cookery, whether it's an interest in STEM, Lego, construction, whatever it is. There's lots of opportunities there. And for families, who do fall into the disadvantaged bracket, then there is funding available as well for that. So local authority, through the holiday activities and food program, there is funding available for that for a range of different providers. So we're just one of a number in Oxfordshire. And that's a fantastic scheme because it offers free places. Amazing. For families in need. And part of that offer is free lunch as well. So free hot lunch. So it's a full day of great high quality kind of activity. So from our point of view, you know, that's that looks like it's a 9 till 4:30 or 8:30 till 6, depending on which camp we have. And that's a full day of activities. So it's obviously great for childcare, which frees up people at home to go to work or to do whatever they want to do. Also a lunch there as well, and it builds those bridges. Because it's not their own experience that those children and young people would have been able to have before. So that's for that goes all across the age ranges. Ours is 5 to 13 that we offer through the holiday activity and the food program. But like I say, there's lots of other providers out there as well. But yeah, our House of Fun and our iBrick Lego camps are set up to do that. And we are kind of assessed, if you like, by the council as well to make sure that the quality stays high. That's part of the programme that you have to kind of welcome people from the council teams come in. And it's a really constructive process as well. So they're very much there to help. It's not like a judgment that's stamped on you and you're left to it. It's very much a collaborative, what can we do? So that's, there's lots of collaboration with parents and families as well about what is genuinely helping. So for example, our last set of activity camps, there was something that was handed out around growing your own vegetables, so coming into the growing season. So the families who wanted it could go home with their own kind of growing kit, seed kit, to then start growing their own fruit and vegetables at home, which was fantastic, which came from conversations with parents about how can we genuinely help things. And obviously there's that education element to it as well.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. Thank you so much for your thoughts so far. Let's build on this conversation after this song.
The Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. I've got to thank you, Jake. I'm finding this conversation really, really fascinating. I think there's so many strings to the bow, really, isn't there, that we could build on. And I think that the next part that I'm really keen to build on is, I think one of the things we've really identified of running the show for, what, 4 years now, gosh, is really about, I think a lot of people want to help. And I think that there's probably two angles that we could look at that I'm really keen to gauge your thoughts on. The first angle is business leaders who have been on the show before and or listen to the show who think, do you know what? Yeah, there's a real problem here. How can they help? But then there's also, I think, that the other area, which I think would be really interesting to look at, is the whole volunteer piece in terms of maybe quite early career, because I think that one of the things that I find really, really successful early career is creating those win-wins. And I think that actually volunteering to do good is helping students, but then at the same time, it's actually helping build experience and skills and a track record on the CV, which actually really helps to get that first step in a career. Yeah, so can you just kind of share your experience in that space and really kind of your thoughts in terms of both areas, in terms of there clearly is a huge problem and you guys are doing some amazing work to help fix that, as is, people like Marcus Rashford that we've spoken about before. But there is still a problem, and it's that we still need to, as a county and as a wider, I guess, planet, we need to do more, don't we? So, yeah, give your thoughts on those areas.
Yeah, so, I mean, the main thing I'd say straight away is that it doesn't matter what the organisation is, if you're all pushing the same thing, then you can, there's always a way to find to make it work. So there's a fantastic charity called Jamie's Farm based in based down in Bath. That's their kind of HQ, and then they've spread kind of further across the UK. And their whole raison d'etre is about taking young people in disadvantage from London and giving them almost a shock treatment of going to a working farm for a week where they sacrifice their mobile phones and work the farm. It's like a kind of there's kind of light touch therapy sessions as part of that. So these are students who've been identified by their school or organisation as at risk of kind of withdrawing from full-time education, or perhaps have attendance issues or behaviour needs or social emotional needs or something like that. And they, you know, they will be milking a cow, for example, and there will be a trained therapist who will be helping them to do that. And the therapy session will very much be on the hoof, excuse the pun, on the hoof, you know, but just talking through things while doing purposeful work. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what the CEO of that Jamie's Farm said to me was, you know, if we're all pushing the same direction here, it's worth making the effort to find it what to work. So, mm-hmm. so going back to your original kind of question, with in the corporate space, for example, if there is a, you know, a company or an organization who are looking to, you know, looking to support people of disadvantage, children, young people in disadvantaged families, then it's about kind of really deciding what are the outcomes to start off with. And it's making sure that those outcomes are deep and meaningful, shall we say. You know, all stories of kind of greenwashing and that kind of thing. And actually, it's about getting those outcomes clear are absolutely key at the beginning. So we've worked with various kind of private companies and organizations and schools as well, where you know, it's about drilling down and what are the outcomes, because our outcomes are very clear. You know, we want to support children, young people to be ready to learn and be great citizens of the future. And so it's kind of aligning those with whatever the organization is looking for, and also identifying who are the key stakeholders. Because it's all very well a corporate or an organization coming in and saying this would be a beneficial to the children, young people who are doing it, but actually you're looking for a very different lens from how they would be looking at it from. And there's also the piece about thinking about who is it who's going to be involved in the activity. The best, by far the best kind of projects that we've run is where you've got buy-in from both sides in terms of people on the ground. So you can see, you know, the organization are sending employees, for example, or if it's, say, it's an independent school and they're sending their own students in, working with people of disadvantage, then you know, you can see there's the real world lived experience of the difference it's made on that day, and then you follow that up with good systems and processes to ensure there's a legacy to whatever it is. So I think the key for that is just making sure the outcomes are clear and there is buy-in from all the stakeholders involved, because otherwise you're at risk of giving something that you think will work but actually is just not needed. And that's something that happens that I've read lots of case studies about. And then in terms of kind of the volunteering bit, then yeah, I think it's absolutely key. I mean, from a personal experience, that was, you know, I was very lucky that I was you know, kind of the town I lived in over in Essex, there was lots of things going on that volunteer opportunities that I got kind of involved with. So from a personal perspective, it definitely gives you experiences that you wouldn't necessarily otherwise. And some of those came through school, some of them came from you know, people suggesting various things. So yeah, I think volunteer, I mean, you know, you will know better than me, Ben, in terms of how it helps with the world of work later on, and how you can kind of build your own brand, if you like, whether that's to sell to an employer or just to have confidence in yourself. But yeah, volunteering, you know, it's no secret that, you know, in terms of kind of being mindful and you know, having sense of self-worth, then that's something that is very often you know, promoted, isn't it? So yeah, volunteering, like I say, we, you know, we offer spaces for volunteers for children, young people to come and for young people to come and volunteer at our camps. And what we do is we make sure that there's a clear focus to it as well. So, you know, we've all heard stories or seen the sitcoms where a work experience person comes in and there's nothing for them to do. So again, it's all about agreeing what are the outcomes to begin with, to make sure that it's of value to both sides.
And that's the point where I think where it becomes really truly sustainable, doesn't it? It really does. I think employers are looking for candidates with some experience, but I think that if we look across any job, I think that more and more and more, I think employers are looking to recruit on values. And I think by showing that actually you're a good person that's willing to volunteer your time and that you've actually got this really, these really great, great level of experience and skills as a result of that, it will pay dividends 5, 10, 20 times over. But then actually you're doing some really great work early in career. So yeah, I really, really recommend it. I'm really keen to go full circle. So as part of your introduction, you mentioned that you've also started to offer team building events to businesses. So talk to me about how that became part of the business. And I think I'm really keen to understand really the kind of offering you've got in that space, because I think team building, again, is something that's so important, particularly in this, I guess, this way of working, which was certainly accelerated as a result of COVID, wasn't it, in terms of hybrid working, remote workers. And actually I think sometimes the team building piece has been lost in a lot of organizations. So yeah, build on that piece, if that's okay.
Yeah, so that is this came, as with lots of things in, I guess, in small businesses, from, you know, these podcasts that I've been listening to and listening to other ones as well. It was something that kind of came out of nowhere, to be honest. Mm. It was a parent whose children attended our camps and had loved our camps. And they said, we've got this event coming up. We've got a big new team coming together in a big warehouse space. They've never worked together before. They've been with the business, you know, a long time, but they've never worked together before because it's a new, effectively the company was going from a prototype phase to a kind of manufacturing phase, so scaling up hugely in a big new space. So they wanted to kind of showcase the space and also bring people together to get to know each other, and they said, what could you do for us? We're called House of Fun. We're looking for a fun activity to team build. So this was a Williams Advanced Engineering, so part of the Fortescue group, and obviously links to the Williams F1 team. So we thought, well, obviously it's got to be race cars. So so that first kind of big corporate workshop was 160 people in a massive new warehouse space up near Banbury. And they mixed up the operations team. So you had everyone from engineers to logistics to HR to anybody really. And they manufactured a car and they raced them, and it was awesome. It was very fun. And there was one particular team whose car went so fast that the wheels came flying off. So, you know, you get some engineers working with Lego and they really, really make it move. So the focus for that was genuinely just, this is our first ever one we've done. It was genuinely just get people together and having fun. And then since that, we've then kind of adapted our offering to, it's all based around team building. So to give you an idea, there will be a focus for the session, whether that's to, work with somebody you've never worked with before, or whether it's to be, improve communication skills between team members, whatever it is, it can be, you know, it can be flexed to whatever the focus of the team building day or workshop is. And then they build a model together, and they're encouraged to, obviously there are instructions with, based on a tablet that they can use, but they're encouraged to add their own flair, question when they need to. In terms of the roles of the people in the group, it can be anything from two people to four people, and you can assign different roles to them. So if you're working on communication, for example, you could have a procurement officer, who's the person who kind of finds the sources, the pieces from the kits. You can have the communications officer, who's the one who's overseeing the project and kind of project managing things. You could have the construction engineer, who's the one actually doing the building. And then you could have a marketing person, for example, who, when it comes to the races and the presentations, if it's cars that you're doing, they're the one who sells the product to the wider group. So, but you know, that's just one example. It can be linked to everything. Another kind of thing we're looking at the moment is, like you've hinted at before, is a remote team that are completely remote, and they come together a few times a year, and they're looking just for a fun activity that is inclusive, accessible, fits into their kind of program for the day, and just gets people talking and interacting, and is a hands-on activity. And going back to what I was saying about the kind of on the hoof therapy, we've all done this, before. Sometimes there's all that data, isn't there, around having a conversation. If you're sitting facing each other in chairs, then some people find that quite confrontational. So actually sitting side by side in the car, for example, is often for some people is a better way for them to feel comfortable to share. So you know, it's going on that kind of thing. You're sitting around a kit, you're talking as you're building. So it's that idea of purposeful work and promoting communication skills. And it all comes down to it's just fun. There's always a moment with every person of any age, from the age of 5 up to the age of, what's the oldest person? I don't know, 75, let's say, when all the models that we build, they all move because it's all mechanized Lego. And there's always a moment when it's switched on and there's that, And when I was a teacher, Ofsted used to call it the awe and wonder moment on a previous Ofsted framework. And it's that moment where you kind of come out of yourself and you just, there's that moment of spark of pride or joy or whatever it is in something that you've built. And the beauty of, you know, the models is that because there's always a time to switch them on, they will always move in some way. It may not be like how you want them to move, but they will move in some way. And then there's that follow-up is, right, how can I improve it? And that's almost a natural, we can prompt, you know, as instructors, as instructors, we can prompt, but actually it's often just a natural reaction after somebody has done it. So yeah, all of this, it's a very simple thing to understand as well. Build a model with Lego. And that's using our kits, and that's the beauty of it, I think. And that's why it's had quite a lot of interest, because it's a simple to understand and a simple to sell thing to a group. Being completely honest, the only kind of downside of it from an adult perspective is that Lego, you know, you say Lego, and people think, oh, it's a child's thing. But actually, you know, post-COVID as well, during COVID and post-COVID, that started to change in that there was all of the, you know, the new kind of adult sets that came out. So Lego, for example, came out. You know, it's become more acceptable for Lego to be something for all ages.
Amazing. No, really, really fascinating. We are really coming to the end of the show. I can't believe how quickly the time's gone. But one of the things that we really like to do with our guests is really to share top tips. And we never like to give you pre-warning of this. And the reason that we don't like to is whether it's something that's just been discussed so far today, or that you want to reiterate, or whether it be something that I've just not asked and that really, really keen to share as a passing note. But I guess what would be your, I guess, kind of takeaway tip for somebody listening today that they should really kind of go away and think about?
I think in terms of kind of just promoting, like I say, better, you know, citizens of the future and children, young people, just giving them the best chance to be ready to learn and ready to progress in life, whatever path that takes. It's just offering those opportunities. It's listening, taking any kind of interest that is there, taking that and offering something to further that. Because we've all been, you know, especially in schools, for example, you've all done one really cool workshop and then nothing else is ever done like that. And it's that legacy thing. It's that kind of, you know, consistent thinking about something, talking about something, seeing examples of something that really, you know, gets people to go further down a path with whatever it is. So I think, yeah, it's respecting everybody's different interests and values and offering ways for them to pursue those in whatever way they see fit. So, you know, we'd love to be able to do that with people at our camps and our kind of school workshops. So, you know, anyone who's interested from school's perspective in, you know, a free STEM workshop that we can come and show you what we do and make your students go, oh, that's amazing about STEM, then, you know, with the iBrick kits, we'd love to come see you. And, you know, school holiday parents, carers who are in need of some support in the school holidays, we've got our House of Fun camps happening. So, yeah, look us up, House of Fun Oxford.
Amazing. Thank you so much. It's been a real, real pleasure. But yeah, like I said, this unfortunately is the end of the show. It's a shame we didn't have another hour. But no, thank you so much for listening to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio today. Just a reminder, if you are just tuning in, we've had Jake Motion of House of Fun, and we really have spoken about a lot of fun, but lots of different topics under that umbrella. So thank you for that, Jake. Next week, we are going to be back with some brand new guests. And next week, we're talking about how the Oxfordshire business can trade overseas. And to do that, Claire Snowden has kindly joined us from the Department of Business and Trade. So that'll be a really, really interesting one for any Oxfordshire business. Finally, just a reminder, you can listen to this this on the show on the radio or online every Sunday. There is also a podcast format, which is available via all your favourite podcast platforms and released on the Monday morning. And do look out for the video format, which is available on the Get Radio Facebook page and the website every Tuesday. But for now, enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and we will see you next week.